Welcome to Taking Time Out on Scariff Bay Community Radio. As the weekend draws to a close, you may be already starting to think about what it is you need to do for the week ahead. Or you may be feeling grateful, having enjoyed your Sunday afternoon. Whatever is happening for you now, we're delighted that you can join us here on Taking Time Out this evening. A reflection on mindfulness, which may be a little for the birds. Well, good morning. You are looking well this fine morning. Who are you talking to? Himself comes pottering into the kitchen. The birds, I reply. He shakes his head and wanders off, muttering something like, "You're for the birds," which I thought was quite witty, if not a little insulting. It's late March 2020, and we're in lockdown number one. Can't believe I'm saying that. When did lockdowns get numbers? Each morning, as I sip my first cuppa of the day, spring sunshine flooding into the kitchen, I'm joined by not one, but two visitors. Well, they're actually out in the garden. Two willy wagtails bob around our garden each morning, and we have become firm friends. Their antics brings me no end of joy. I watch them doing a loop of the whole garden, always clockwise, stopping for brief moments to peck at the grass, then continuing on, their little tails twitching. You see, I know they are wagtails because of the twitching tails, which is just as well, really. If there'd been any other species of bird, I would have been rightly stumped. I'm not really a bird expert, but I have fallen head over heels in love with these two chaps. And that's just it. Are they chaps? They could be a couple. My imagination runs wild thinking about their little lives. Where do they live? Do they frequent other people's gardens? I dismiss that thought immediately. These have made themselves at home in our garden, and I'm thrilled with that. So, each morning during lockdown, I greet my feathered friends. I tell them how splendid they look and how I am a little envious of their carefree existence. Both of them together, no social distancing required, no need for Skype or Zoom to keep in touch. We put the world to rights, the wagtails and I. Until one morning towards the beginning of June, just as we were coming out of lockdown, disaster struck. I sat in my kitchen as usual, ready for my catch-up with Mr. Wagtails 1 and 2, only there was no number 2. One lonesome wagtail bobbed along, seemingly oblivious to the calamity that had just occurred. I quickly moved closer to the kitchen window, earnestly searching every corner of the garden for Mr. Wagtail number 2. No sign. What is happening? I call himself. One of the wagtails has gone missing. I'm quite alarmed now, and himself doesn't know whether to laugh or cry. Well, they don't live forever. And I can tell he's not really interested in the wee bird at all. Don't say that. And inexplicably, I start to well up. Ah, come on now. He coaxes me gently back to my cup of tea. Then he leans towards the kitchen window and pushes it slightly ajar. Listen, he urges. Can you hear them? And as I pause to do as he says, I hear the most wondrous sounds. Birds chirping, singing beautifully. Himself sits beside me, both of us still, silent, soaking up the sounds wafting through the window. After a few moments, himself gets up and, turning as he leaves the kitchen, he says, "Leave the window open for a while." It turns out my little wagtails and all their feathered friends can really sing, and I nearly missed it. I was so busy talking to them, I'd forgotten to listen. So now, during lockdown number 2, I sit with my morning cuppa, window slightly ajar, listening and watching. Truthfully, if I'm really still, I can hear the birds even with the window closed. There's a robin who visits every morning. Just the other day, while standing at the kitchen sink, I hear myself say, "Good morning, Mr. Robin. How are you this morning?" Well, old habits die hard. Himself appears beside me. Do you remember how much fun we had with Santa's Robin when the children were young? He says with a chuckle. I smile, and he goes off to put on his boots. I watch as he makes his way up the garden, Mr. Robin hopping along beside him. And I think, maybe we're all a little bit for the birds.
November, this most special time in terms of our memory. November, the month of remembering. Míonna maraíodh. It coincides with the turn of the year in terms of autumn giving way to winter. It reminds us that life is so fragile and transient. We're called to do the best and to be the best in the precious time that's given to each of us. And so during the month of November, we remember. We remember loved ones, mams and dads, grands and granddads. We remember brothers and sisters, people in our life who somehow or other have made the connection with our hearts. And have now gone, and that lovely phrase in the Irish, Er Shlí na Fearna, in the way of truth. We pray them eternal rest. And just by way of little thought for this November time, I love the piece that the late John O'Donoghue, the mystic poet, priest, philosopher from North Clare, wrote at the time of his own uncle Petey's passing. He entitled it November Questions. Where did you go to when your eyes closed and you were cloaked in the ancient cold? How did we seem huddled round the hospital bed? Did we loom as figures do in dream? As your skin drained, became vellum, a splinter of white horn from your battle with a bush in the shagra stood out in your tongue. Did your feet take you beyond the fields of Elisha, or did you come back along the Carabana mountain where every rock knew your step? Did you have to go to a place unknown where there are friendly faces to welcome you and help you settle in? Did you recognise anyone? Did it take long to lose the web of scent, the honey smell of old hay, the whiff of wild mint, the wet odour of the earth you turned every spring? Did sounds become unlinked, the bellow of cows let into fresh winterage, the pour of a stray breeze over the cooling, the ring of the galvanised bucket that fed the hens, the clink of limestone loose over a scallop in the Corcan? Did you miss the delight of your gaze at the end of a day's work over a black garden, a new wall, or a field cleared of rock? Have you someone there that you can talk to? Someone who was drawn to the life you carry? With your new eyes, can you see from within? Is it we who seem outside? We know our holy souls, our loved ones, they're as close to us as our breath. We feel them especially during the sacred time. We remember them, we pray for them, and we ask them to continue to help us, guide us, and encourage us. And so we pray, eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord, let perpetual light shine on them. Amen.
I miss the softness of her. It comes when you least expect it, the loss, the absence. I can't call it grief. Grief is an empty, painful wretch that takes the air from your lungs and makes a cavern of your stomach. This unannounced pang of loss is like missing a step or reaching for a railing that is no longer there. But all is not lost. He walks every farm with me. I hear him in my ear admiring good workmanship, giving the nod to clever contraptions that save time and labour. I hear him let out a soft whistle on the side of a hill as he takes in the sweep of good ground rolling away from under us and in a healthy sward. He is certainly in my ear in places that could do with attention, where pathetic pallets try to do the job of a decent gate, where briars stretch themselves halfway across a field, where a round feeder still stands on high ground like a cocked hat in the month of May. The poached ground around it could badly do with the touch of a harrow. Even from the other side of the grave, his vocabulary vibrates with the vernacular. I think of him every time I climb a gate with an auctioneer who commits the mortal sin of mounting it near the latch. I'll climb it nearest the pier to avoid straining the frame and causing it to hang crooked. He would haunt me if I did otherwise. He's there when the smell of a freshly lit cigarette blends into the first cough and puff of a coal diesel engine. At roadworks, I'll sometimes get the whiff of hydraulic oil and remember days spent in repair shops waiting for frayed hoses to be mended while machines lay idle in a field. The smell of that oil was a sure sign of a leak and a portent of impending disaster, precipitating a polyphony of the vernacular that would continue unabated till the last spanner was fired into the toolbox and the tractor roared into resurrection. With a fresh fag hanging from the lip, the PTO was engaged and the rig was back in action. Come on, the day will be gone and not a stroke done. And I think of him when I hear the hum of my neighbour's milking machine and watch his band of cows amble their way in single file towards the collecting yard. As soon as the first froth of a pint touches my lip, I can smell Joe McHugh's pub in Liscannor, where he spent many a September evening singing camellias and discussing matters of great indifference with anyone who wanted to avoid talk of grass and silage and other things that furrowed the brow. Often on my way home from a day poking around other people's farms, I'll have so much to talk to him about. Then I realise he isn't and won't be. There's only the loss and the absence and the never again. And I miss the softness of her, the all-enfolding softness that she was. I think of her when making tea, how she drank 1,000 cups a day and smacked her lips at the last sup from the last cup as if it was the first. And I think of the way she would lean her forehead into mine and rest her head on me as she whispered, "How are you, love? And how are they all at home?" Home could be anywhere. The place where she was born, the place where she reared us, or the home I now have with mine. It didn't matter. Home was wherever she was. When I touch her big straw hat that sits on the sitting room table, I think of the 1990 trip to Italy. I'm behind her strolling through the streets of Florence, happy and fit and full of life, her broad brim casting a shadow wide enough to shade the medieval street from wall to wall. A woman for temperate climes, she baked in the sun and perished in a draught. And the Genoa game, we watched it at a roadside stop somewhere outside Venice. She averted her eyes at the penalty shootout, staring at the ground and sighing over and over, "Poor Packy, poor Packy." When O'Leary hit the net, the rest of us leaped into the air, but she just blessed herself and asked for a cup of tea. I miss the presence of her. She was the shoreline on a calm evening where the lake laps against bobbing boats tethered indifferently. There is nothing severe, neither wind nor wave nor straining moorline. She is not here, but the softness of her is, and always will be, in the ripple and lap of the water as it kisses stone and pebble and wood. The whisper of him is around too, in the amble of the cows, in the hum of the milking machine, and in the echo of a song, "When I first said I loved only you."
You have been listening to Taking Time Out on Scariff Bay Community Radio. This evening we listened to a reflection on mindfulness, which may be a little bit for the birds, penned by myself, Ger Condren. The second reflection this evening was from Father Tom Hogan, parish priest of Burr in Tipperary. And the final reflection was from Jim O'Brien, entitled "I Miss the Softness of Her." I might digress for a moment from the credits to say huge congratulations to Jim, who has just this week launched his book with the magnificent title Matters of Great Indifference, Reflections on Modern Living. It's available on Amazon and there is a Kindle version. If you're a fan of Jim's column in the Farming Independent, you'll love this book. And if you've just become a fan this evening, go buy the book. End of plug. The music you heard this evening, we started off with the Eagles with Peaceful, Easy Feeling. And then we had that lovely song from Fleetwood Mac, Songbird, followed by Postcards from Brezzy and the Blizzards. And finally, we had True Friends from Jerry Fish and Friends and the Mudbug Club. I hope you enjoyed taking time out with us here this evening on Scariff Bay Community Radio. We will be here again, God willing, next week. Same time, same place. A big thank you to the producer of the show, Jim Collins. Until next time, mind yourselves and each other.